to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast for three dungeon masters. I've been doing this for way too long. Talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. Oh, oh, I met your children. Oh, oh, what did you tell them? Video killed the radio star. Video killed the radio star. In my mind and in my car. BDS. Hello, everyone.
Nice. Welcome back. MTV there. Yes.
Welcome back to another episode of Three Wise DMs. This is the Rock and Roll DM, DM Dave, singing obviously the Buggles' "Video Killed the Radio Star," which was the first video ever played on MTV for all you youngins out there. So it was like kind of like a weird troll that like MTV was pulling. Like that was an early form of trolling. They were like, yeah, well, we just killed you guys. So, but. Anyway, so Bill, you killed the radio star. Like, that ties into our episode today, because today we are going to be discussing a contentious issue. We're heading right into the controversy, as my friends across the pond would say. So building off of DM Chris's article from a couple weeks back, the Revolutionize Your Gameplay, his four AI tips for all TTRPG people, where, and I'll let Chris kind of go into it about, like, kind of what built it, but, like, you know, solo gaming and how do we use, you know, AI in these ways. So we're going to kind of delve into that a little bit, because Tony and Chris have both been playing campaigns through Chris's World of Nampashima, which he ran Matt and I through, which was kind of our, like, samurai thing that we kind of built, and we were playing three brothers going through the land. It was fun, right? But ChatGPT, Chris found some prompts that allowed him to start playing in that world and expanding out. They've both been playing pretty extensive campaigns. Like, they're at like levels 4, 5, 8, I don't even know. And then I've been starting to play with it, not in that way as much, but, and I'll delve more into this as we get into the episode, but ways in which I'm using it to bounce ideas off of for what I'm hoping is going to be an upcoming Star Wars like adventure mini campaign, but ideas I've had. So I'm going to stop talking here and I'm going to let you guys kind of take it here. What have we been doing and what do we think about it? How is it helpful for people?
I had kind of started to we use it a lot at work, and so I had been reading about it, and I found the one article where the guy had provided a prompt that he said this basically would turn ChatGPT into a dungeon master for you for a solo campaign. And he also provided some reviews about how it did pretty good. So I was like, whatever, I'll give it a shot. And so I dropped the prompt in there and I created my initial campaign, which was a character, Tristan Gray, like a pugilist. And it right away, like with just the prompt itself, without providing any clarifying information like we did with Nampashima, it started to basically craft an adventure, a world based upon just a singular prompt there. So as once that started to happen, I started to utilize it in some other ways to help enhance some of the narrative side quests, like I talk about in the article, like to help it. It was very good with language, ChatGPT especially. It's the language model is good there for providing that sort of fantasy, suspenseful text. So I've been using it a lot for that, but it's powerful. And it, the cool thing about it, and I'm going to let Tony go into it because he really, I helped to create Nampashima, but he's gone through and taken it to its limits inside of ChatGPT, inside of the prompts that I created. But basically I just took the initial prompt and then just added the information. Like, you can continue to give it information. It's and it will continue to adapt the story to be in that vein there. So I basically took the prompt and then added a block of text about Nampashima and about any of the fairy tales and stuff. And then it takes that and creates it into a world where you're actually interacting with the cities and places and NPCs. Me and Tony were talking about his thing yesterday, and it's awesome. Like, it hits the points that we did in our regular story, and it also took it to other places and opened up other areas of the world, which I thought was neat too, because it was using, it wasn't just completely like my original campaign was. There was something focused about it where it had some of those, but
well, and Chris, I saw one. I mean, the thing I was realizing was like with the Lord of the Rings campaign, like I started to play with it a little bit too with that, because like we do the narrative side quest stuff, and I love writing that, like we did with Dragonlance. I was writing all of those back and forth with you guys, yeah. But I would write out a thing about Baron Thor, my ranger and Ranger of the North. And then I went into ChatGPT and I gave it, and I said, please rewrite this in the Tolkien style. And it really gave kind of a little bit of a polish that was just fun to see like how it plays. And again, it's made your job as the DM a little easier having to shoulder some of this stuff by being able to give it certain things. And then it does some of the heavy lifting for, well, not the heavy lifting, but it does like the grunt work in a way, right?
It reduces the stress of having to write that narrative back and forth. Like when we're doing the rest quest and you get the thing back and you're like, oh crap, I got to go write a couple paragraphs here. Like, all right, what's happening now? And all this other stuff. It helps that now I can put simple ideas and have it expand. But
Tony,
talk about the Nampushima campaign.
Also, guys out there, make sure to go back to the article, because Chris actually puts in there what the prompts were from the DM who wrote his other article that he kind of references, the prompts to kind of prime this if it's something that you're wanting to kind of play into. So when we talk about the prompts, that's what we're talking about in that article.
So when Chris provided me the framework to drop in to chat GPT, I intentionally did not look at the source material. I wanted to be surprised. I'm like, this is all it? Great. And I made some tiny modifications where in rare cases, through the course of the story, I would get rewards in the form of ability score bonuses. And in very rare cases, I may be able to learn a special ability.
God damn it, Tony. You prompted it to do DM Tony crap and start buffing your damn attribute. Dude, that's messed up, dude. Come on.
But everybody,
min-maxer.
People have a very love-hate relationship with that. But in a solo campaign, which this is, it doesn't matter. There's no party balance. You're the star of the show, but you're not doing the heavy lifting in terms of story or character direction, because the chat is dissecting what Chris created and it's vastly expanding on it. So what I'm doing is I'm taking all these notes and dropping them into Google Doc from there. Like, I have visited like 20 different locations and I'm basically in my fourth short story at this point. Like, the tale begins, I chose a monk. I was itching to play a monk, and then Chris wanted to do Lord of the Rings, and I'm like, so there's no kung fu in Lord of the Rings, huh? Okay.
No real monks to draw a hard in Middle line Earth, there. Right?
It's yeah. That's a hard line, yes.
Hey, right. You got to have class or race boundaries in certain campaigns.
I can't do
there are no monks,
tiger.
Though, right?
No, it gets the Uruk-hai. Okay, and that's fine. So we just put it somewhere else. And the story is your sensei disappears, and as you're searching for your sensei, apparently you didn't cover this plot to kill the Shogun using these four fragments of a broken sword. They're going to reforge it and destroy the Shogun and create a revolution. And throughout this whole story that you have all these NPCs, all these locations that he created, I traveled around Nampushima, reforged the sword, stopped the cult, found out the sword had a terrible secret, didn't reveal the secrets to the kingdom, buried it, kind of slipped away in shadow, and that's where I became the devil of Nampushima. I have a devil mask, and I have the magic sword, and I became a very mysterious, unknown, but like folk legend character. And that was just the first one. I went on to do a total of four. So it really, like, you could take this as far as your heart's desire, and it gives you ideas, it gives you hooks, or you could do something completely different. I will advise, though, when you're doing this, it is not infallible. Create your own character sheet in the chat. If I'm like, Chris, I hit you on a 16. He's like, no, actually, my armor class is 17. You would know, not me. You know, like, they're like, it's juggling 400 different details. So, like, you're the best judge of what you've got. But it's really, honestly, really enjoyable. And if you're looking to try some character ideas or concept, I was thinking about going to play Ghost of Tsushima, you know, just to scratch that itch, I'm like, or How about this?
No, and I think it's a good point there. Like, it does a good job at that, but it's a DM. Like, there was a time in the Tristan Gray campaign where it's, I'd gotten a gauntlet, right? It's an Ember gauntlet hand, and it basically gives me immunity to fire. And there was a point at which it was like, oh, and you could take whatever fire damage. And I was like, oh, but if it's not magical fire, it's this. And it's like, oh, good point. And then it just sort of remembers that and stuff like that. So to Tony's point, it's not
you have to roll the lawyer, the judge.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the one thing when we talked about it too. The one thing that we hinted is that it's a player's DM. It wants to please you, right? Like, so it's constantly going to work with what your prompts are and try to deliver that kind of experience to you, where you're the star of the show. Like we talked about, I wonder how it would work for a larger scale. It's very text-oriented the way it does it, but, I mean, it does all of the – it asks you to make ability checks. It handles combat. It's pretty amazing. I think that's – not only is it infallible, it's a little bit not arrogant, but it will tell you that it knows stuff when it doesn't really know stuff. So always, yeah, make sure that you're keeping an eye on it or something like that, that it'll start to hallucinate some things, and it's an effort to try to provide the best experience for you, what it thinks, right? You know, versus what, you know, like anybody, it's listening to you, but it's only listening to you as much as it's trying to spit back in your face what it is that you want. So
yeah, what this makes me think of is Thorne and I would talk about it sometimes. We talked about it on the cast even at times. About like, so back in the day, we would a lot of times, Chris, you would do the same thing because you weren't playing as often as maybe you wanted to. So like, one of the things it would do is kind of just sit down and like make characters. You know, you would just make characters. You're never going to play these people, but you roll them out. You get the character sheet out, whatever. And I remember I was reading an article. I cannot remember who had said it, so I apologize to whatever content creator out there. But they had termed it lonely fun. And it's a wonderful term. It sounds depressing, but it's not. It's the ability for you to play. And sometimes you play games for yourself. Like, you know, there's tons of stuff out there that allows you to do that. And that, there's something very enjoyable in that. And this is an excellent resource for that. It makes me think, Chris, back to when we were starting to, you were playing with the Mythic system you had found, the solo RPG system. There's entire communities devoted to what's the best solo RPG systems out there. How do you do it? And to tell you the truth, this tool, which is here, I mean, like the thing we have to all just understand, and I don't want to hear about, you know, whatever, like AI is here. So using it in a responsible way to have some fun, to improve on the game you're running with your friends is completely, you know, that's completely above board in our way. I don't want to hear a bunch of nonsense outside of that. But compared to like the Mythic system, Chris, because we started to kind of, me and you would get together and see if it could run it. And I'm thinking, and it was cool. We definitely had a really cool thing with the evil that moves and all of this kind of stuff land of Stanworth. But but if we had ChatGPT at that point and both of us were sitting down and we would like put in what we want to do, it would have created this whole thing because it pulls, it creates that veil that you don't know. It's the DM screen that you don't see what's happening behind it until it reveals it, which is kind of fun. It's also one of the reasons that like Chris has developed an idea for like a narrative campaign in our Warhammer games, utilizing this in a way of it creates a lot of the stuff. So we don't know yet what the big drops and reveals are, you know? So, anyway, that's my lonely fun thing.
No, but it is a bit of a different energy. Like, Mythic is cool. Mythic is it was me and you sitting at the table and, like whatever you'd roll out the random phrases there and us coming up with the content of the story.
What does that mean?
Yeah. And then our characters playing into the story. With this, I can still provide it with content, but it does run the story for you. I think that's the cool part for me, is that it takes care of running it. So I can be a player. I don't have to keep on jumping out of Tristan Gray into the DM seat. Occasionally, just like a player, I'll be like, oh, hey, by the way, my AC is 16, like to Tony's point. Sometimes you have to be like, oh, by the way, like I'm doing this. But I don't ever need to like get up quick and run behind the DM screen and be like, okay, like this, you know? So I think there's something for, I just want to have some, like the lonely fun. I just want to have player fun. Like, I just want to be a player. We're all like full DMs all the time. So sometimes you just want somebody else to run you through a story. And I think that it does that very nicely. Because yeah, it definitely does make you feel like a hero. Like the way it generates the fantasy epic is, you know, you definitely feel like the hero.
One of the things that we started to find too. So Tony, Chris, I'm going to have to talk to you after this to get some ideas for some of the prompts. But Tony never got to play in our Slaver's Bay campaign that we had started way back, which we talked about a little bit on the cast, where you guys had started as kind of slaves in the gladiatorial arena. And then it built into this whole thing. And Tony texted me on the side and he was like, hey, do you have any of the information on Slaver's Bay? Because he was like, I never played in that. And I'd like to see that world, because now that he's played in the amphitheater, he was like, oh, this is an easy way to start kind of like playing in that sandbox that you created. And it's completely on your terms, on your time. You could just walk in your office and type in a couple things and you're playing, you know, so.
No, I mean, and as far as using responsibly, like, I have to tell you, like, I would never prescribe to everybody, like, you know, these chat devices should be running your campaigns and putting out all the key content. However, like, for example, were super useful to me for my girls' game. They visited an inn, which they met at. In the last 15 sessions, we've been there one time. I'm like, make me an inn. Boom. It's got floors. It's got people that live there. It's people that run it. It drew a picture of it. That's super helpful. Like, I'm not selling this, but this is stuff like us at the table. You know, it's filling in, like, some areas to add depth and aspects that perhaps that's not where your time is best utilized. Now, yeah, exactly. As far as, like, you know, looking at Slaver's Bay. But, yeah, I did not get to play Nampashima. I happen to have an issue. It's fantastic. I can go out there and I can explore that and experience Nampashima. Is this going to contend with the fun and all the aspects of us, like six of us sitting around a table in a campaign? Not necessarily at all, but it's really something fantastic.
Can all six of us get together every single day and play? Also, no. You're right.
But when I'm coming home and I've got a little bit of block of time between 7:45 and 8:15, it actually makes you feel like you're accomplishing something in your game. You could do some things, maybe do a side quest, get some information. It draws you a couple pictures of what happened. You drop it in your log and you're like, yeah, that happened. And it's all right there very concisely. It's pretty cool.
So one of the things that I was that I wanted to kind of add to this convo that I was kind of, I was teasing to you guys. So now we're going to have to enter the part of the discussion here. Oh, I'm sorry, really quick, Tony, what I wanted to respond to yours. So guys, if you go back to like the first 100 episodes, like every other episode, you'll have some point in it where Tony is decrying having to build a town. He's like, I'm so over it. I'm over maps. I'm over towns.
Over.
Because we all know that you create it, and no one ever goes there. And then, like, where do you use your time effectively? And, like, this is a perfect example. This is something where if I open a random encounters book, it's right there. If I open a chatbot, it's also kind of right there, right? And you're using it for your own home games with your friends. So, like,
it's, like a, a monster wrangler. It's a random encounter wrangler. Hey, quickly, I'm here. Draw me an inn because I'd rather be working on the story than the contents of,
instead of, like, well, yeah, what's behind the bar? How many floors should I build out the floor? Like, how many employees do I need to
waddle and daub? Or is it sturdy construction there? What's the,
Will they talk to just the barkeep, or will they want to talk to Sam Smorkel, the janitor, too, you know? So, but the point I was going to get to was the way I started. So I didn't, even though Chris sent out the prompts, and he was like, guys, you got to do this. It's super fun. Like, check this out. Whatever. He sent out the prompts and how to do it, and I read the article and stuff. But what I said was, like, oh, this is interesting, because I've talked about this before. I kind of got jazzed up about running the WEG system, the Star Wars West End Games D6 system from back in like the 90s, 2000s. It was re-released by Fantasy Flight, I think, regardless. But a D6 system, very narrative focus in the Star Wars universe. And I don't know what kind of prompted it, but I was like, other than, I mean, I love Star Wars, but you know, I was like, oh, I think I want to kind of run something in this. This might be fun. And I got this idea that came to me. And I was like, so we've talked about our journey system that we use with the card deck. And it kind of makes hex crawls and stuff a little more enjoyable. And I have said before, the way in which I came up with that idea originally to kind of prototype it, I think in Dragonlance was the first time we used it, was from the board game Firefly the board game, which at this point is probably one of my favorite board games of all time, because there's just something about it where you have to you have a ship, you got to build a crew, you got to fly the verse and do jobs. And they have a mechanic in there of travel that made me go, ooh, this could be interesting because it makes travel matter more. I then was like, we're in Star Wars. They're flying a ship. They're a ragtag group of people on the Millennium Falcon, on, if you watch Rebels, on the Ghost, a skeleton crew. They have the kids flying in the thing. There's a whole ragtag group, and they get into hijinks in the galaxy. And I said, oh, shit, I have this idea. And I went to ChatGPT, and I said, ChatGPT, do you know Firefly's board game? He said, absolutely, I know, yeah. Now, Chris, it was very arrogant, but it then put out, here's the main points of Firefly. And I said, I want to take Star Wars West End games and Firefly the board game and merge them, where you have to
lunatic.
Yes. So what I did was I started to build this out with ChatGPT. It was awesome. And I said, okay, how about this? And what it was a way for me to bounce ideas off another quote-unquote DM. So my two DM friends, Chris and Tony, are also in my games. So in Dragonlance, when I wanted to be like, what do we think about XYZ? I could talk about it on the cast and let them know. And then Scott also listens to the cast, so let him know too. And then everybody knows what's coming, and then cool, awesome. Or I could go talk to my other, quote, DM friend, ChatGPT, and say, hey, XYZ, and bounce these things off. And then what I did was I took the framework of this game, which is, I think, super awesome. There's all kinds of mechanics to it. But I said, hey, could we take what's called, we called it Fractured Stars, Ashes of the Republic, just so you know. We named it, me and ChatGPT. I said, run me a test game in this. And I've now been running a test game as Captain Tam Elbrun, captain of the Chance Vector, with my ragtag group. I got a Twi'lek first mate Slicer. I got Clanker, the droid. And I got Siri, the human female pilot. That's actually a pull from Rebels. So it kind of just, it pulled from that. But it started to build out in the same way with Nampa Shima. And Chris, you started running like a Marvel game even in it. It started to, I said, okay, and it will, because of the way in which we built this idea out with Firefly, I was going out to get jobs and make contacts and fly the verse, in essence, trying to make money as well as getting involved in what's happening in like the Outer Rim. So that was a big, long explanation, but for me, like, it's a wonderful way to kind of test your prototypes. You have an idea, and I want to test it before maybe I throw it out on the table with a bunch of people.
And yeah, so like I had a character concept that I wanted to run with. And guess what? I don't have a campaign to drop them in. Now I understand I can go roll 20, find some new friends, all that stuff, and then manufacture time that I don't exist to go and play in this campaign. I could have done all those things, or it's right there. It's like really kind of like a soft launch for it. And you know, do I get to develop a story? Absolutely. He went on. I had it create me a subclass for Monk, the Shinobi Ninja. So he's a ninja monk.
Right.
You know.
So yet again, guys, just Tony is always going to, even with ChatGPT, he's still going to min-max it, even with ChatGPT. Can you make me a monk?
The Shinobi subclass was very cool. That was very, he started, you asked, and then I was like, oh, you could probably do it or whatever, and then you sent me back the thing, like it had generated it, and it was like, this is, you know, it's, that was very neat.
And what's cool about it is I mentioned in the beginning of the campaign, I wanted to be a shinobi monk. So with all my images of myself, I'm dressed as a ninja. Like I'm like a novice ninja beginning my training, all that. And why is there no actual ninja class in 5e? What? Where did we drop the ball? We've got a samurai. That made its way in there. Okay, good. I appreciate that. We got the monk. Excellent. No. Yeah, but now we
tell you the I think there's something to that. This is a bit of a sidebar, obviously, but there is something to that because like the idea of ninja specifically. But in our original Nampashima game with the brothers Chen, I built out my one guy Bao Chen was I built him. I mean, we all started at one level of monk. Was how Chris kind of built it. And then I went rogue as my second. And when you put those two together in a certain way, you get the assassination feat and stuff like that. Or the assassination style, whatever. I forget.
It's the one where you hit first in combat and you like.
Yeah, it creates a ninja for you in that way. But yeah, like it would be kind of cool. Like we're thinking back to the old like 1E supplement, Oriental Adventures, where they had the ninja as the subclass, you know.
Which they did in a really handy way.
Actually, they did the actual like class. It wasn't even subclasses. It was just literally like. Barbarian, ninja.
Well,
yeah.
Let me give you a really deep answer on that. So from Dragon Magazine, they did publish a single class ninja, but in the original text in the adventures, it said that you were basically a true split class human because you were pretending to be like a swordsman or something, but you were also secretly a ninja. So you were getting like ninja levels and like Bushido levels at the same time. It was really,
yeah,
not as ridiculous as the original druid, but you know.
Well, that was back in old TSR days. The bard. We all know TSR stuff. It was it liked to be wordy. Let's say wordy. Not balance was like, what are you even talking about? Like, you know, you got balance on a tightrope, maybe, but outside of that,
what you want to be a bard, great. Go get like 8 fighter levels, 9 thief levels, and you could start go to Barter College. I'm like, I'm 46. Facts. I'm going to go pro now, and I'm gonna go
it's gonna be like community college classes.
I'm now an adult learner. Awesome. This is great.
Yeah, I'm that guy in class with a 20-year-old with a great beard. It's fantastic. But I got to really build the story out. I created the Temple of the Nine Harmonies. I developed my own style of martial arts. Now, that's where I would have said, as the DM, son, you're 8th level. You can't create your own martial arts style. So in that respect, yeah, Chris, you're absolutely correct. It's trying to please you. It's a well,
I will.
Yeah.
I'll add to that, Tone, I think, because that's a good point. So we talk about this a lot when we're talking about story and story arc and narrative and cinematic flair and all these kind of things and epicness. And we always make the distinction between books, movies, TV, and the game. You can take inspiration from books, movies, TV, all of that kind of stuff. The game is still, as Chris always says, it's a game, so there is a level of gamesmanship that needs to be there, and it's not a solo game. So if Chris is running me through something solo, or Tony, you're running Chris or me through something, right, solo, that's a little different because now you're the star of the show. You're the only one here. We do what we do. When you have 4, 5, 6 people at the table, that's where that kind of thing comes into play because there's that balance of everyone gets to share the spotlight. But in this kind of thing, like when I'm Captain Tam Elbrum of the Chance Vector, which I just love the name of that ship, but the Chance Vector, I'm kind of the star of the show. So I'm playing so it can allow things that you wouldn't necessarily allow in the game because you're the only person there. Again, lonely fun, right? You're the only person there. So it can be a lot more narrative and cinematic in scope than the game can be, right? Yeah,
it's listening and it wants to. So it will, when it will, you know, there are times in the one Tristan Gray campaign, I would do a lot of punching, right? Because he was like a pugilist, right? So I've run into like a lot of sort of type encounters.
Did you have it make like a pugilist subclass, Chris? Or were you just doing like Battlemaster fighter like I did? Yeah.
I'd be a Battlemaster, but with all the fairy and parry and feint and all the kind of things. So he was like a true like fighter there. But then for the other character, like I've been solving things through ritual and magic and combat encounters just by selecting certain things or trying different things. And it like a player's DM, it works with you. Like, I don't think anything is ever set in stone. It gives you that agency that you can then continue to, you know, adapt it and create it and make it bigger or change things. You could tell it things about yourself later and it will remember. You can tell it to remember certain things, like Tony was talking about with pictures, where you can have it draw you a picture during your campaign, like after the big fight, please draw me a picture of this. And if you like the way something looks, tell it that. Like, hey, I like this. If it tells you something in there that you like, make sure that you let it know. Like, it will remember these things because it's trying to build a, right? It's trying to build a profile, like, to give you exactly what you want. So
one hilarious flaw in all this, and I've used in the chat GPT, Gemini, Copilot, Meta AI, it doesn't matter, right? If you draw a picture, right, and something's just slightly off. Like, for example, if I drew a group picture of the girls' game, and, like, for example, Raven is the tiefling, and she was to have horns, and, like, she has horns, and then, like, Dottie's character also has horns. And I'm like, just keep that picture exactly how it is. Just take the horns off of the angel. She's an Asmir. Nope. That I must be asking it to turn lead into gold. All of us will have horns. None of us will have horns. We'll be on a beach. It completely derails it. It just,
so
I have three arms. Yeah.
So as we always say, these things, it's just another tool that's available to you. And for me, like what I was saying with mine, it's such a great way to test out stuff that you have an idea about. Or as Tony did, like, I need an in. Boom. Now I can go to one of my supplement books that I have and get one of those. And that's awesome. And I do that. This is also yet just another thing. And it's a quick thing that you can do. But I think it's been great, like, especially building out the Star Wars idea, not just starting to kind of play with the mechanics, but also, like, to tell you the truth, learning the WEG system in a way, because I'm having to play it and it's DMing me through. And like you guys did, I literally created one of the templates. So in the Star Wars system, there's, like, you have a template of, like, whatever, bounty hunter or something. And then you have certain skills and you can place your D6s in those skills. But then how that interplay happens, and I've been going through the rule book too, but this is a way that I can, like, sit here and play it and get a sense of, okay, this is how this game, this system runs. And I'm thinking back to when I ran Matt's birthday game a couple years back and we did the avatar system. This would have been great where I could have been like, all right, run me through a test scenario of Avatar, the Last Airbender role-playing game from Magpie, and see, okay, this is a way that it can kind of flow better, you know?
And I think as a addendum to this, something else that I've been messing with past ChatGPT, which is good from a creativity language creation standpoint, but for example, like the Lord of the Rings, I have PDFs of the things there. So there's a, Google has a thing called Notebook LM, and it's similar to ChatGPT, except it's a sealed private model where you upload your sources and then it does all of its analysis based upon those sources. It doesn't go out to the internet. It doesn't do any of that kind of stuff, but then it's used to provide very clear and concise instructions, and it's much less susceptible to hallucinations like ChatGPT is, because there isn't that creative element to it. It's doing
and
analysis.
It has less
for
stuff to pull off, yes, of too.
And then, yeah, as the coolest bit, so I loaded all of the Lord of the Rings stuff in there, and then I asked it a question. I said, please describe the journey system to me. Explain it to me. And it kind of went through and it busted out the text, and it's slower than ChatGPT, but it went through all the sources and busted out. And then I had it generate a podcast from that. And it created a podcast between a male and a female going back and forth about the friggin' LODR journey system, where the guy would provide, like, he would sort of keep prompting her and she would just keep on going. And it started, it not only did it include the regular role-playing book, but because I had the supplements in there where there's some adaptation to the journey rules, it started to talk about that, about miles versus hexes, and bring in all these other things there. And it's, I know it's AI, but it's creepy, but it's very cool because I could then take that you know, download it to my phone and listen to it while I'm driving to work or one of these other things there and have that. So I don't necessarily need to, I can have it collate the information and put it into a medium so that I can, you know, if I want to learn the WEG system, if I have that PDF, I load that up there and I start asking it questions and have it generate podcasts for me that I can listen to and absorb that material kind of, you know, during the day. So it's a cool new powerful tool. So.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the MCU of Tony Stark's talking to Jarvis. That's amazing. Yeah, so anyway, it's probably about that time, though, for some final thoughts. So, guys, like, we've started to kind of utilize some of the AI stuff in our in some of our prep and our gaming in ways. And what have your experiences been, and what do you think are the good takeaways here?
So I'll reiterate in the respect that, yeah, this is not going to come up with the core concepts of your game to make it awesome and fantastic. However, if you need something to help you build an encounter, describe a room, place treasure, generate names, make maps, or create NPC personalities, it can do all those things fantastically for you. That's like 8 different tools in one magical place and many others. And it can, even with the correct structure, run games for you. I've heard like Copilot can do mini games, but the stuff I'm doing at Mishima, like, I'm hours and hours deep into it now. Like, I'm level 8. And that actually felt about right using the milestone story progression. So, I mean, of course, if I was using XP progression, I'd be level 3, but don't get me started on that. It's neat. It's worth checking out. It's certainly worth, you know, seeing if this can assist you making your games feel more robust and freeing you up for, you know, so you're not stuck trapped like on like some of you doing your late work, and you could really make the really key aspects of your game really hit.
Yeah, no, I think exactly using it as a tool for what it's become for a lot of society. It's on your phone now. It tells you about your schedule. It reminds you, hey, it looks like you're going here today or something like that. In this case, it can knock out a lot of that work. Pictures, adding little bits of things. Like I had it help me create a dwarven song about the Nerignala, the place that we're visiting in thing there, to kind of enhance it. I gave it what it things, but then I said create it in that sort of Middle Earth dwarven style, and so then I can have that there, and it adds a little bit to it. And it's something I could have come up with on my own, right? But that's a lot of time that I'm not working on what we're actually going to be doing in the campaign versus some little bit of, you know, window dressing that's in there. And then, yeah, as far as running games, like for a guy who does a lot of a lot of solo gaming, it really works well. It's going to be, you're the star of the show there, but you could even tell it to ramp up the danger. You can tweak it. You can have it.
Elden Ring, baby.
Yeah, you can have fun with it. You can, you know, but always, you know, understand that it's just like another person. Like, it is just the sum of everything that it's read, seen, heard, and it also wants to please you. So everything that it's given to you, especially in a game, you're like, whatever, you know, things, but check what it's returning there, because it's not infallible. It's just insanely powerful. It's just like an insanely powerful helper, you know, monster wrangler friend.
Look, in the end, man, AI is here. And we can decry whatever we want to decry, but that's like decrying like me when I'm running a game and I turn on our speakers at the house and I put Spotify on in my Dragonlance thing. At that point, I'm not getting into the conversation and the stuff about the percentages that are being given to the artists. I understand this. We're talking about your private games. We're talking about, you know, having some fun in this world. And the ability to come and game a solo game whenever you want or have time is really, really fun. I am saying I'm even going a bit further with it, because I'm literally building out a brand new idea for melding two different games together. That, yes, I could have sat down and broken out all of these things, but as Chris was saying, and Tony too, it's like the old adage of you got your work cut out for you, right? And supposedly that's from sewers and weavers and stuff like that, that when they had a ton of work, they had all their helpers cutting out those patterns so that when they came through, they could just do the stuff. It's like having sous chefs, right? The executive chef is not chopping and preparing and doing the mise en place. They're cooking and overseeing. And as a DM, you are cooking and overseeing. And depending on your schedule and your group and your frequency of play, that could be a lot of work. And if you want to do all that work, that's awesome. If that's something you enjoy. But as Tony was saying, we were talking about in our terrain episode, just a couple, like last episode, all of that time that you're doing for that, you're not doing where you're building your game and creating it and thinking about your characters and players. So I think this is a wonderful tool to add to your toolbox. I say go back to the article that Chris wrote and take a look at those prompts, throw them in there, and see what happens. Have some fun with it. But again, it's a great way to test your prototypes too, because everything you throw on the table is a prototype. So this is a way to at least, you know, see if some of the bugs can be fixed. That's going to be up for us this week. Thanks again for tuning in. This was not a listener question. This was obviously us. This is stuff that we're playing with now and kind of bringing to you to add to the conversation, see if it helps you. But you let us know. But you can always reach out to us. We are DMs with Problems. We love to help DMs with problems. So reach out to us at our website. That's 3wisedms.com. You can put your question in the What's Your Problem field. You can reach us by email at 3wisedms@gmail.com. You can also get us on Facebook and Instagram, very active on those sites, which we will probably be seeing plenty of comments about this episode on as we wade into the controversy. But regardless, I would still say, even if you're running with ChatGPT, like I had to, I actually had to open a dice roller because I didn't have my dice up here with me, but I still got to roll my D6s when I'm Captain Tam Elberman of the Chance Vector. So, you know, still have those dice ready and maybe get a special set for your solo gaming from FanRoll Dice. And you can go to our affiliate link at fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. Put in the code 3WISEDMS10. That's the number 3WISEDMS, the number 10. You get 10% off your order. This has been really fun. And we probably will be revisiting this because this is something that is now involved in all of our gaming in some ways. So, but let us know in the comments what your experiences have been, what you think. But as we do each episode, we are now going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you all at home for listening to another episode of 3 Wise DMs. If you like what you heard, please give us the 5-star rating in your podcast platform. And if you want to hear us answer one of your questions, this was our question. This is something that we brought to the table, but we often answer listener questions. So if you want to hear us answer one of your questions, please send it in. You can send it to our email address, 3wisedms@gmail.com. You can go to our website, 3wisedms.com, put it in the What's Your Problem field, or talk to us on Instagram, Facebook. They're active in all those places. And we're always looking for new material for the next podcast. We love helping you solve the problems you have. This is a podcast for Dungeon Masters with Problems. That's what we're really here to do. And that's it for this week. We'll see you next time. 3 Wise DMs.